So good evening, everyone. I'm sure you're all really having a fun time at the SharePoint conference, and especially attending this last session, 5 o'clock, Tuesday, and I'm sure you're all very exhausted. So I'm sure you're all at the keynote yesterday. Jeff showed some of the social features, and perhaps you went to some of the social presentations yesterday. Mark Stone, can I get a show of hands if you guys have seen some of the social stuff? Okay, great, awesome. So we tonight are going to show actual scenarios that will help you get your jobs done more effectively. My name is Matthew Fezco.
And I'm Ben Wilde.
And we're both program managers on the SharePoint Social team. And tonight we're going to do an overview of the personalized SharePoint 2013 social experience. So there are things that we do every day, regardless of the industries that we're in. And those include ask and answer questions. When I joined Microsoft, there were plenty of questions. There are plenty of questions that I really didn't know who to ask. I could ask my manager a bunch of things, but a lot of times you don't know. It's hard to find out who is the right person with that experience. And the inverse, when people want to find questions and answers to social-related stuff that we both work on, it can take them time to figure out who that right person is. Managing multiple projects. So I and Ben, we work on maybe 3 or 4 projects at a time. You guys may work on 5, 10, 15 with products, across various project planning sites, with multiple people in your company, outside the company, and sometimes it can be a hassle to manage all of that stuff. Working with documents. Regardless of if you're writing a financial statement or a memo or a spec for a cool new social feature that your team's going to work on, we all work and manage documents. And the thing that's hard about documents is keeping track and knowing where the stuff I worked on last week, last month, 6 months ago, did search work. I mean, finding that stuff can sometimes be difficult. And finally, finding out more about people. And this is interesting. So Ben and I, we're in the Microsoft office in Cambridge. There's 100 people on our team, 500 in the building. There are 40,000 Microsoft employees in Redmond, and there's about 95,000 worldwide. So on an hourly or daily or weekly basis, we're meeting new people at the SharePoint conference, everywhere, who we don't know anything about. And sometimes it's hard to know what they're a knowledge expert on, what their past projects were, and really how I can relate to them when I'm taking on a new project or something new. So what Ben and I are going to talk about tonight is how social makes your work life just way easier. And it's really about three key tenets. And if you were at Mark Stone's presentation, he touched on all of these. And these tenets really impacted the features that we built this release. Those include employee engagement, staying connected to people that you work with. Think about bringing the water cooler conversations outside of the water cooler. Team collaboration. So whether it's working with people that are down the hall in your cubicle, 3,000 miles away, or on the opposite time zone, we have to collaborate with people everywhere. And finally, business agility. And that's about making sure that you can keep the business agile, moving, and improving your products and increasing revenue using all your features and everything that you produce. So while understanding that social is really important and really helps you get everything done, that can sometimes be scary to some people. So I'm going to caveat this that I'm an oversharer and I am an all about sharing and social, but some people are worried about privacy, and that is a really, really big deal. So what we wanted to ensure is that we created features that would really enable you to control your privacy. If you're one of those people that wants to consume, that wants to see what's happening, but not necessarily have to share everything, we make that possible. So I'm now going to pass it off to Ben. Before we go into these actual scenarios on the features that we used, he's going to show you a bit about the social overall and sort of position where we're going to go from there.
Thanks, Matt. So one of the things that you guys have probably seen so far this week at various other sessions is how to really make SharePoint feel like it's for you, how to really personalize the SharePoint experience. Lionel did a talk earlier about theming sites, putting a gorgeous picture on the back of the site so every visitor to that site really feels like it reflects the personality of that team. We've talked about apps. We've seen one click, you can install an app. So the content of a site really pops and really, really fits for what that team is trying to accomplish. We've even seen, if we switch to the demo, this global nav bar that's the blue band across the top of all of SharePoint and all of Office 365. And the goal of that is to put all of the things that you care the most about in your work world a single click away, regardless of whether you're in your email or in some SharePoint site somewhere. So these are all little bits and pieces of how we've built more of a personalized SharePoint experience around you. Today, like Matt said, we're going to focus on specifically the social pieces. And most of the emphasis of this talk is going to be on the newsfeed itself. So let's jump in and start giving an overview of what you see in the newsfeed and why we design things the way that we did. So the one key verb and the key action that I want to call your attention to first is this concept of following. When we set out to build the social features, we started to think about what problems do people have in SharePoint? And it inevitably came back to the fact that there are people across SharePoint and across your company that you work with. So it's your peers, your manager, maybe you have direct reports, maybe it's upper management, maybe it's somebody in a different division. But we found that it was not super easy to stay in touch with those people. You may want to hear what they have to say because they're prophetic and they have great posts and great announcements. Or maybe somebody's super witty and you want to follow the amusing things that they say. Or maybe you just want to get to know them better and learn about them through the newsfeed and connect with them more on a more personal level to help enhance your business relationship with them. So one of the first things that we let you follow is a person, and we'll look in the feed in a second. The other thing that we found, and Matt hit on it with documents and sites, is that the content that you work with and the sites that you use to collaborate with people tend to be scattered all over SharePoint. One of the things that that we see time and time again is that you were working on a document and you can't find it, or you were part of a team site and it was going great, and then you didn't check it for a couple weeks, and all of a sudden you look back at it and all sorts of stuff has changed, and you weren't even aware that anything was happening. So documents and sites are two examples of things that we really want to make sure that we bring into your personal experience so you don't lose track of them. And then the last thing is a hashtag. And you can really, if you're not super familiar with the concept, you can think of it as sort of a topic or a subject. So it's some concept that you're interested in, and we let you follow that concept because we know that conversations, especially with the new social features, are going to be happening across your company. So one of the things that, especially being in Cambridge, we found is that People in different divisions and in people, even different teams within SharePoint, are always having great discussions about the features that we've built. So we use this concept of being able to follow a hashtag to make sure that as those discussions are happening, we bring the ones that you care about into your following view. So again, the goal of the following view is to take the things that are scattered all throughout SharePoint, the people, the things, the ideas, and bring them into really your own personal view where you can really feel confident that you're staying up to date as those things change and as important things happen with those people, documents, sites, and tags. So what we were going to show was something that not a whole lot of speakers thus far have really delved into, is what happens when you follow something. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that, and then I promise we'll get to the meaty part where we really look at how these social features make all of our lives easier. So if you ignore this, which let me just clean up.
Shoot.
So I'm going to show some of the things that happen when you follow each of these four different types of entities. The first one is the most basic, and it's the one that we've seen a lot so far, is just the basic post to everybody. So this is Zrinka is making a public post. She's posting, asking about some help on this document. She added a link to the document, which you could open in preview, but we've seen that before. And in this case, you can see that Anne saw that question and volunteered to help, and is going to deliver some support there. So this is one of the examples of getting some help in the feed. But also, I see this post because I'm following Zrinka, and because Zrinka says things that I'm interested in seeing. If you look a little bit further down, you can see, here's an example, and it happened to be me, but it's an example of following somebody and seeing the things that they do in their company. So in this case, it's a community post. I posted a question to a community, and because I happen to be following myself, I see that in my feed. So you could imagine that it's somebody else that I happen to be following, and I see them post a question to a community, and I either know the answer and I'm able to go help them out, or I see some other community activity. Maybe they were marked as having the best answer at something, or maybe they just hit expert status in a community. So I can really learn about people through the feed and by following them in the feed. The last piece down here is the Darina post. And this is a piece that we keep calling serendipitous discovery, and that's a term that has come up in a lot of sessions. But it's one of the key values of social and of following people in the SharePoint 2013 newsfeed. So this is a case where, once again, I'm following Darina because I'm interested in the things that she says and the things that she does. And in this case, she found a site called Product Design, and she started following that site. So in this case, because I'm following her, I see that post in my feed. And the caveat I'll add is that I also have access to Product Design. So we do apply security trimming, and I will not ever see this post if I don't have access to the site or the document that she follows. So in this case, I see this, and again, because I'm interested in Darina, I can open up that site and see whether it's something that's interesting to me, that's going to be relevant to my work life, and that's going to be something that is going to make my job easier. And just a little side anecdote that we've seen internally from dogfooding these features, we'll see Jeff Teeper will go and follow a document or a site, and soon it starts to snowball, and you know, by the end of the day, there will be 7 or 8 different people that I'm following that have all followed the same document. And the cool thing about it is that snowball, by the end of the day, the odds are that document, because so many people that I am following have also followed it, odds are it's going to be interesting to me. And it's a really great example of how serendipitous discovery really does reveal useful information. The next thing I'm going to show is a couple of document posts. So I'm following this SharePoint conference deck because obviously Matt and I are working towards presenting a deck at SharePoint conference. And because I'm following it, I'm able to see some activities. It's very easy to follow, and I see some very lightweight activities in the feed, just letting me know, hey, somebody's been modifying this deck. And as we were collaborating on this particular deck, it was fantastic because I would go to my feed and I would see that, you know, we were working on 4 or 5 different documents, and I could see the ones that our collaborators were working on. And if I was interested, I could pop that open and start to collaborate with them right from the news feed. The other one I want to show you is this one that Matt made here. And it looks a little bit like a post that you would make to the everyone view, and that was very intentional. But the key difference that I want to highlight is this little arrow and the fact that there's a site name after this. So while we love posting to everyone and the concept of open by default, and we think that that enables all sorts of great serendipitous discovery, we also found that people like to collaborate with groups, with smaller teams, with, in this case, a SharePoint site. So Matt and I spun up this SharePoint session planning site, and we've been using it for the past 3 or 4 months to actually collaborate on getting this presentation together. And it's a great place for us to have open discussions, but those discussions are also visible to other people who are following the site. So again, because I'm following the site, that gets pulled into my following view. The last thing that I want to show is what happens when you follow a tag. So in this case, you can see this little line that says, this conversation was tagged with Pound Social. As you might have guessed, Matt and I are both interested and passionate about social. So I'm following that hashtag so I can see conversations that happen around the company that include that hashtag. So here's a case where Garth Fort, who I have honestly never heard of before, aside from all of the other demos that he's appeared in this week, has tagged a post with Pound Social. And this is something that he doesn't know me, I don't know him, but because I'm interested in that topic, I'm able to see that conversation show up right in my following feed. So we're going to get into the real meaty demos now, but just to recap, following is really the key action that we're using in social for creating your own personalized newsfeed experience. You're the one that curates your newsfeed. You're the one that decides what types of activities are going to show up here by following the things that you care the most about. So we're going to now see how that applies to getting work done and making magic happen.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Okay. So I mentioned before, I'm going to move my backpack so no one dies up here. Okay. So there are things that we do every day. And the first we're going to go into is asking and answering questions. So I'm going to dive in right here. And I just want to let you guys know, I'm using Chrome. Ben's an IE. And we have perfect browser fidelity. It works exactly the same. And I use them interchangeably. And I just want to show here that it's great to see that our features work smoothly across all that platforms. So I'm going to start in the everyone view. And Ben already touched on the following view because I think, as he mentioned, following is a core concept. But the everyone view is really interesting because it allows me to see what everyone across the company is talking about. And I was thinking about this conference. The only way that you all would see things I posted was Twitter. If I post to Facebook, Well, my manager would see that, and friends, and Twitter was public. And what the analogy here is that this feed, which is on Office 365, the tenancy that we have set up, everyone in the company who's using this will see these posts. And I come to the everyone view probably once a day, or at least, because I'm the kind of person that wants to help people. I want to answer the questions they have because I've been there, and I happen to know some stuff about social that I want to share with so people can get the answers to their questions. So I see that Zrinka has an answer to her Southern Partners doc, but Julian needs a demo of social features. Well, just so happens, we are doing a demo of social features. And I'm going to let Julian know that he can listen to the recording of this presentation. And within minutes, Julian will get an email back. And actually, you know what? Since Ben and I are working on it together, I'm going to mention him too.
Thanks.
And the reason why I did this is twofold. So first off, Julian will now get an email with the replies, and he'll get his answer right there. And Ben will also get an email that he has been mentioned in this post, and he can reply to that too. So it's a way to bring the conversations out from email, which are very focused and one-directional, to a place that other people can actually collaborate, communicate, and perhaps Ann Wallace wants to see the sessions. So this is a great way to use the feed to share that information. Another thing, so besides answering questions, I personally use the feed to ask questions all the time, sometimes too much, but I think it's helpful. So when we were coming to the SharePoint conference, I actually didn't know who from my team and who from different teams were going to be here. So I actually went to the feed because why email the entire SharePoint DL when I can post to the feed and anyone who is following me or following the tag will actually see that post and say, hey, I'll be there too, let's grab lunch. So easily can do that. Happens to be a tag already. And I can select that tag, hit post. And now everyone who's following that tag will see that and then can let me know. And this is a great way to connect with people across the company, as I mentioned before, and really outside of just a silo of email. But not only can you share with everyone or with people that are following you, we've also enabled you to be able to share with the select group of people, the sites that Ben mentioned before. And I can ask a question right there. I do that by easily clicking down the dropdown on everyone, and this is all browser-based. And I can click on the SharePoint conference session planning. These are all the sites that I'm following that have site feeds on them. So as you notice, there are three here. There's actually seven in the view. So certain sites may not have it, but that's just what sort of the way the features work. And any site that has this feed enabled, and it is enabled by default, I'll be able to share with that and with those people. So I'm going to go ahead and select the SharePoint conference session planning. And I actually had a question because I needed to see how Ben was doing on the overview deck that we were going to be presenting. So I'm going to mention Ben. And he's going to get an email, a mention, from the site that I'm asking him about the overview deck. Yes, I could have gone to email, and I could have sent him a mail right there. But the reason why this is more interesting and useful is people who come to the site will also see this post. And there's a history and a way to see all the conversations we've already been having. So anyone new who joins the site or comes upon it can see how we got there. Sometimes before we had these features, you would join, you'd get access to a site, and there'd be like 400 documents. And you'd be like, I don't know which one to open, because which one is important. And the feed is really a way through to navigate to that site. So besides the feed right here, I want to draw your attention to the trending tags web part right here. The trending tags web part is a great way to find out what people are talking about across the company. And especially being in Cambridge, being thousands of miles away from the mothership in Redmond, it's sometimes hard to see what people are talking about, what's the pulse. And the trending tags web part really gives us that deep dive into what people are saying, what they're feeling, what they're talking about, what they're sharing. And interestingly enough, the top trending tag in our tenancy is SPC 2012, which happens to be the similar one for Jeff's keynote yesterday. So I'm going to dive in, click on it, and see what people are talking about. And perhaps there's a question I can answer.
Oop.
Oh. It was the fire alarm. Or it was Dreamweaver. Zing. So you come to the tag page, and at the top you see that I can follow this tag. And as we know, if you follow the tag, you'll see all the conversations tagged. But what I also see are all the relevant conversations tagged with this tag. But even further than that, I will see all the conversations that are tagged with the related tags in the top right corner right here, hashtag SharePoint conference. And what's great is that end users, regular people who are in the company, can go ahead and relate the tags to each other. So you're no longer having to deal with this mess of 300 tags that are all the same. You can, as an admin or an end user, relate them, and in one page, see all of the conversations that are tagged with that tag. Additionally, the tagged items right here will also show you the content tagged with that hashtag.
Can we, if you don't mind, saving questions to the end? Hopefully we'll have time with the delay.
Okay. So I'm going to jump back to my news feed for one last example of questions and answers. So I'm going to scroll down here because I spent all of my time in my feed. And I see that, oh, Ben posted a question in about SkyDrive Pro. Well, I happen to be a knowledge expert in SkyDrive Pro, and I'm someone that wants to help people get answers. So I'm going to go ahead and take a look at what his question was or what he posted about.
And it's another thing we've seen internally is that we know we're not all Matts and all super as nearly as helpful as Matt is, but we've seen a ton of just end users in our dog fooding that love to jump in and step up and help answer questions, and it's been pretty amazing to just see the participation in the feeds.
Yep. So Ben asked, does anybody know how much storage we get in SkyDrive Pro and Office 365? And yes, we get 7 gigs. So I'm able to just reply right in line. And that happened. And there's the reply. I happen to be an admin on this site right now, but normally you wouldn't see these community tools right here. But one thing I want to call out for communities, and a shameless plug, there's a communities presentation tomorrow, so if you have more questions on communities, Robin is going to be running that one. But right here, if Ben or the admin of the site chose to mark my reply as best reply, which may or may not happen right now, it'll show up there at the top as a best reply, and anyone who comes back to the site to find the answer to that question, we'll be able to find that easily without having to re-ask it. And this is all indexed by search, and so it really allows us to connect the feed and the communities, the question and answers that happen to each other. So I'm going to go ahead and close this, and I'm going to pass it off to Ben, who's going to talk about managing multiple projects.
Thank you. So another thing that we've seen at this conference, and I mentioned it before, is the great site, using SharePoint sites to do team collaboration. And then there's all sorts of great lightweight web parts you can add to just facilitate one click. Bing, you got your site, and you can do all sorts of amazing collaboration on that site. And it's amazing, and we love it, and we use it all the time. But we also realize that it can be a little overwhelming when you have this site that you're working on with this group of people and this set of deliverables, and this site with a different group and a different set of deliverables, and this one with a different group, and it's due tomorrow. And I think we all have multiple things going on at the same time, and even with all of the great features that we have, it can get a little bit overwhelming. So this is one place where social also steps in to let you stay on top of all of the sites that you happen to be following. So let's take a look at my email. So another thing to point out is that we love the feed and we're avid feed users, but we also still use email from time to time, and we have been using more feed and less email, but we definitely still have email, and we acknowledge that that's probably the case for a lot of folks. So I can look at my top email and I can see, hey, there's this question I asked about storage, and here's an answer from Matt, 7 gigs. That's awesome. Thank you, Matt, for your help. But another thing I can see is I can see that I get, and if you look at the subject, this says it all. Matt Fesco mentioned you in a conversation in SharePoint conference session planning. So this is a place where Matt targeted a message to me. One of the benefits there is that I get an email. And from here, I can navigate directly to that conversation where I can reply to him, and we can start having the conversation about how the deck is going. And I can say, great. how about the abstract? So I will say I tend to be a little bit of a worrier, and Matt likes to say taskmaster, but I prefer worrier. And so we have this abstract for this session that we wanted to make sure we got nailed down well before the conference. Matt was supposed to do it, but I haven't heard anything from him in a little while. So I start to worry. So I start out making a post in the feed. I may, just like Matt did, put an at mention in there to really make sure that he's gonna see this. And I start to feel a little bit better that it's on his radar now. But that doesn't quite do it for me. So I can go back to the home site. And again, this was literally several clicks to get the site set up and themed. But one of the things that I see, and it's flashing in my face, is one late task. And again, as a worrier and as a planner, that scares me. So I can open that up, and I can go to the task list. And I see, sure enough, session title and abstracts locked, way overdue, and not even assigned to anybody. So one thing I can do directly from here is edit the task, assign it to Matt. And now I know, as we saw in the keynote and in other sessions, that's going to trigger that task to be picked up in Matt's personal My Tasks aggregated tasks view, because it's a task assigned to him on the site. So I feel now he's gotten an email, he'll see it in the feed, he'll see it in his tasks view. I'm starting to feel a little bit better about how our presentation is doing and how, in general, this session planning project is going. So that's all well and good. The other thing I can do, though, now that I'm starting to think about this, is go to my sites page to look at some of the other sites I'm following. So these are all, this is a set of 5 projects that I'm working on in parallel. Again, each of them has different groups of people involved, different deliverables. One of the things that I get, though, from following this is that anytime there's a conversation that happens on any of these sites, I'll see that in my following view. And it just gives me a great amount of peace of mind knowing that if I come to my following view, I'll stay up to date on the conversations that are happening on these sites. So these are the sites I'm currently working on. We all know that new projects come up, and we want to make it super easy to create a new site to start working on a new project. So I think, aside from the fire alarm, this is going pretty well. So maybe Matt and I will partner on SPC 2013. So we'll go ahead and create a site. And again, super easy. You click the new site button, you type a string, you wait for hopefully not too long, and then a little longer, and a little longer, and voila, here's the new site that Matt and I can start to use to collaborate on the next year's session. So back to this concept of following. It's the action that we preach when you want to stay up to date on something. So obviously this site is something that I'm going to be very involved in. I want to stay up to date on it, so I want to follow it. And this is going to be a little bit quick, but if you look up in the right corner after I click follow, you'll see a little notification here, and it says SPC 2013, you're already following the site. And this is actually a feature that we built because we found that easy site creation was amazing, and you type in one word and you spin up the site, and then you forget what that name of the site was and you can't get back to it. So one of the features that we built was we automatically follow any site that you create just to make it easy for you to get back to. And it was as soon as we did that, our productivity skyrocketed and we found we weren't duplicating sites time and time and time again. So I've created the site. I've confirmed that I've followed it. Now, if you were at the last session in this room, I'm going to quickly share it with Matt so we can start collaborating. Type in his name, pick him from the list. In this case, I do want to send him an email. If I didn't want to, I wouldn't have to. I can say, check this out. I like exclamation marks. I can share it. And now I know that Matt and I are going to be able to start working on this site together. It's another site that's going to start showing up in my followed list because I followed it. And now when I say, let's get planning, Matt can come to this site and he can see that conversation. Or if he follows the site, as we've said, any of the conversations that happen on that site get pulled into your main following view. So we should see it at the very top. Ben Willey, let's get planning to this site. So now I know that I can have conversations, do some great team collaboration, and that any site that I'm following, any project that I'm working on, it'll all be focused on this single personalized following view in the newsfeed. So that's a recap of managing multiple projects. So now I'm going to hand it off to Matt, and he's going to talk about one of the key things that you do in projects and working with documents.
All right, thanks, Ben. So before I do jump into documents, I want to show you, if you weren't at Garv session, what's pretty cool. So Ben invited me to SBC 2013, and as we mentioned, follow is a really important action, something that we want to push upon a lot of people to start thinking about as a way to keep track of your stuff. So this is the email. And by the way, in the Outlook client, it's styled a little bit nicer, but it's pretty simple here. But in the email, it's very clear. There's the link to the site, and there's also a link to follow this site to get updates in your newsfeed. And I know that any time Ben shares anything with me, I probably want to follow it. So what you can do, click follow the link. It'll bring you to the site, and it will confirm, do you actually want to follow this site? I say yes, because every time Ben gives me something, I probably have to do it. And I click follow, and right there, the site is automatically followed, and it's added to the sites that I'm following, and I can get back to that. So there's that. So I'm going to jump back to the newsfeed, because this is where I get stuff done. I see that now following right here as well. And perhaps our teammates will now start following that as well. So we talked about following. We talked about everyone. And I'm going to shift focus to documents to talking about mentions. The mentions view, which is the third pivot in this area, is essentially the notification center for your SharePoint social experience. It's the place that people can mention you and notify you of things. And that's the place that you should look at whenever there's a new ticker. You can think of it like email, but obviously it's public. But any time that there's a mention, you can click here to see that. And I'll also add, if you're at the mobile session, they mentioned this briefly, and there's another one tomorrow. You guys should check it out. But on the live tile for the Windows phone, you'll see your mentions ticker show up on the live tile. So it really is a really great way to connect your phone to the feed and, you know, through email, all in one single ecosystem. So I'm going to go to mentions and see what I have to do now because, oh, and Ben assigned me a new task. That's what happens every day. So go ahead, see what he posted right here. So he said, how about the abstract? Okay, so fortunately, I'm always ahead of him, so I have that abstract ready. So I'm going to go ahead, get to the site. You can see here we have a few documents. And I'm going to go ahead and get that site. I'm going to clear this so that's not there. I'm going to get that document and put it in the site. So I'm just going to minimize everything. There's that magical document. Go here, and I drop it, and it's uploaded. So really easy, really, really easy way to just get your stuff into documents.
That was the guaranteed applause.
Yeah, we knew that. It's always drag and drop. I really don't know what it is. But not only that, if you click on the dot, 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 you'll see, every time, you'll see this call out hover panel. We've been talking about this lightweight preview of the document right there. You can see what it is. You can open it up in a bigger screen. But what I'm going to do here is I want to share this with Ben because he asked about the abstract. So rather than just say, yeah, it's on the site or whatnot, I can actually go right here, paste it in there, change the display a bit. Here's the abstract.
And Matt glossed over it a little bit, but you may have noticed how easy it was for him to just grab the URL to that document. And if you're a 2010 user, I'm sure that you know how fun that can be in 2010. So this is a very subtle but amazing feature that we use all the time.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. And then anyone that sees this can easily go in, click preview, see that doc, or open it up right here. So I'm taking a look at this site. I see that, oh, there's another PowerPoint here. Shameless plug on this one. We're presenting on Thursday morning at 10:30, a deep dive into the newsfeed, breaking it down. So Ben must have started working on this. So I'm going to go ahead and take a look at what's happening here with this document. So let's quickly look at the call-out to give me a bit of information into the document, because I think that I may want to follow it. So there's Ben Wilde and Matt. I guess he doesn't want to include my last name. But so this looks like something I care about. So I'm going to go ahead and follow this document. And the reason why I followed this is threefold. One, and I'm going to click here as we do this and just tell you what happened. So one, when that happens, you click, you get to the docs you're following. It's a really great way to connect things. So if you follow a site and click that notification, you'll get to sites I'm following. Docs, follow, you'll get to docs I'm following. The reason why I followed that was threefold. I want to get back to it easily. It's right here. I mean, we are presenting it on Thursday, so I should start following it. I want a notification to appear in my news feed that I'm following this document, and whoever has access to it can also follow it. It's that serendipitous discovery of information that Ben mentioned before. And finally, I want to see if anyone has modified that document. I want to stay updated on that, because this is something I care about, and anyone across the company who has access could modify it. And I know that I don't really go to the metadata to look at the properties to see last modified by. So it would be great in the feed to actually see that information. So I'm going to go back to my news feed, and whenever that shows up, that would show me that I'm now modifying the document. So let me jump right here into the last piece of documents. And if you were at... Oh, there it is. Cool. Were you doing that just now?
A little bit. I added your last name.
Should I open it?
Yeah.
See what happens?
Oh. No, I lied.
Oh, you lied. You didn't add my last name. Anyway, so if you're at Rich Sugro's presentation on SkyDrive Pro, I want to go a little bit lightly into there and talk and show you a little bit of a demo right here. So SkyDrive Pro, this is your document library. This is where you keep track of all the documents that are related to you in this tenancy in this organization. I'm not going to go through Sync. You can watch his presentation on that. But what I want to show you right here is just how easy it is to create a document and then share it with everyone in a few clicks. So Ben mentioned we're now working on potentially SPC 2013. So I'm going to go ahead, create a new Word document. I'm going to click OK. OK, that can happen. Let's try it one more time, if the demo gods are going to be nice to us.
I feel like we earned some karma with the alarm.
No yeah. Days. So what I wanted to show you was once you easily create the doc, you can drag and drop it and put it in the shared with everyone view. And from there, let's see if it works here. And from there it works. That's what we're going to start with for preparing for next year's presentation. So I'm going to go ahead, save that, jump back to my SkyDrive, and it's easily here for anyone who wants to see that document. It'll be shared right here, and there's the sharing hint. So with that, I'm going to pass it back to Ben, who's going to go and talk about the last scenario, finding out more about people.
Thanks. All right, so finding out more about people, and we're gonna get to this in the demo, really means two things in this context. It's finding people to begin with, which we all know can be a challenge. And then once you do find the person that you're looking for, it's then finding out more about them and really connecting with them. And this is another thing that we've really seen pop in the social feature set is how much better you can work with somebody when you know what you have in common, when you know what they've done in the past, when you know what they've described, how they describe themselves. And, you know, like Matt said, we work with people from around the world, and using the SharePoint profile really, really, really enhances the relationships that we have with those people at work and gives us some common ground and lets discussions just flow much more freely than they would otherwise. So let's take a look at how we find people first. So here I am. I'm in my newsfeed. I'm thinking socially, I'm thinking about people. One of the things I may want to do here is actually start to find a person that I remembered hearing about. So this could be a case where I remember I met somebody at the booth. She works in a different team within SharePoint, and her name was Carrie Fursey. So she came by, she introduced herself, we had a nice chat, and I get back to my hotel room and I want to see what we have in common. So I go to search. And it takes me to search results. And sure enough, if you look at how I spelled her name, I butchered it. But SharePoint very politely suggested that maybe I was looking for somebody who actually spelled her name with a K and with fewer E's. So this is a great way for me. This is the search. I think they call it the fuzzy name search. And you don't need to know exactly how to spell a person's name to find them. And it's been super useful at Microsoft. And you know, I can dig a little bit more into Carrie and decide whether or not she's gonna be interesting to work with in the future. The other thing I can do for finding a person, let's say I didn't even get their last name, and I will say I'm notoriously bad with names. So let's say I happen to meet this young gentleman at the booth, and he comes up to me and we have this great talk, and he says his name is Matt, and I'm proud of myself for remembering even that much of his name. And he talks about working on SharePoint. So I can go to the people search and search for Matt SharePoint. And what will happen when I do that is, sure enough, first result pops up. It's a person. Looks like Matt. I can hover over him and start to get a little bit more information about who Matt is and what he's done. But even this isn't quite enough. So I'm gonna actually navigate to Matt's profile to really understand who he is and what he's been working on. So when I'm on his profile, I can see all sorts of great stuff here. So there's this bio description that he wrote about himself in his About Me. I can see some tags that he's claimed that he knows about that I am able to ask him about. And then I can see the activities. And some of these obviously were the ones that you just saw in the demo that just happened. But I can dig deeper and find things that he's worked on in the past, documents he's followed in the past, really start to piece together who Matt is and what he's worked on and what he's said in the past. So I'm starting to feel like we have some things in common. I can actually look and literally see that there are some people that we are following in common. I can also see if I want to see some additional things that Matt has said about himself, I can dig a little bit deeper to find some additional info about him. But the other thing I can do here is start to see some additional context about what he works with and who he works with. So I can click on documents, and now I'm looking at Matt's documents. So if I dig into his Shared with Everyone folder, sure enough, here's the document that he just created. He wanted to share it with everyone. I can easily get to it here. If I want, I can follow it from here, or I can remember that it was on Matt's profile, so anytime I want to get back to it, I can just go to Matt's profile. The other thing just to quickly show is people. So this view shows the people who Matt is following, the people following Matt. It's a little sad. And from here, I can first see that we have a couple people that we're following in common, but I can also see that there's some people that I'm not following. So maybe I want to look at Allie's profile and decide whether or not I want to follow her. And let's say I do that, and I can just follow her directly from this view. So this is a great way for me to not only find out more about Matt, but also to expand my own social network and start to follow some additional relevant and interesting people. So this was great. I feel like actually I really connected with Matt. I feel like next time we sit down to have a meeting, I can ask him about the gym or cooking. And we can use that to launch into a deeper discussion about anything that we want to work about. Or I could ask him about some of the actual work items that he has on his list. So this is great. One of the other things that I didn't mention on the search is part of the reason that Matt showed up for search was that he actually added SharePoint a few times to his profile. So looking at this got me a little bit nervous. It was so easy to find him. It was so easy to connect with him by seeing all of this great info that he added. I worry now that what about when somebody searches for Ben SharePoint? What are they going to find? And I keep putting off filling out my profile. And Matt has inspired me. I want to make sure that people are able to find me, first of all. And then when they do, I want to make sure that they can have that same type of connection that I just had with Matt. So I go to my profile. It's embarrassingly empty. And I start to feel really bad. So I want to go in and fix it. So I can really easily get to my edit profile experience. I can add a rich bio. I can add some things that you can ask me about. And I can move through these fields, fill out more and more information, both about my work life, but also some things that are a little bit more personal. My birthday, it's in June. The school I went to, any past projects, the things that I think are going to help people that land on my profile to understand who I am and to understand how we can work better together. The last thing I want to quickly show is on the newsfeed settings tab, we've been seeing email integration throughout this whole demo. I love it. I love seeing emails. I love being totally plugged into everything. But if you don't, it's very easy to stop, to uncheck some of these boxes and stop getting emails as people do things like start following you or mention you or participate in a conversation that you were in. But I'm going to leave those checked. I'm going to click save all of these changes I made. It's going to take a little bit for them to show up potentially. And now one of the things, and again, use your imagination and pretend that I actually filled a rich bio in and a bunch of additional information. But now if you make that assumption and put on your happy demo glasses, you could see how this just enabled me to establish connections with additional people in the future. So switching back. So that's a little bit of a recap into not only how you find people, but once you find them, how you really are able to connect with them. And We love our social features. Matt and I are both very open, very social. We want to be open by default. We want everybody to see the things that we work on and the people that we work with. But we realize that that's not necessarily the case for everybody. So the underlying thing that we want to highlight, and Matt's going to dig into this, is that we do respect privacy, and we do feel like we're 100% in control of our own privacy at all times. And Matt, let's
All right, thanks, Ben. So talking about privacy, it's really all about that edit profile experience. So I'm going to jump to my profile and show you what's changed from 2010 to 2013. So right off the bat, I just want to make a mention about edit profile. We've cleaned it up a bit. We've made it so that it's, rather than a really long list of stuff that you want to edit, it's in this more modern UI with these clickable links that allow you to go between these sections. And for all you IT admins, it's all fully customizable. If you put the properties within a certain section, they will show up in that area. So it's actually a pretty cool way to get people to use them. So if you don't like the out of the box, you can change that, both on Office 365 and an on-prem. So I'm going to show you about this. There's three aspects to privacy that we're going to talk about. The first is the who can see this column right here. In this release, we really wanted to simplify everything, the user interface, using the social features, and using privacy. And with that, we decided for sharing specific profile properties, we wanted to make it so that you either share with everyone or just yourself. In 2010, you had the ability to share with these three extra buckets called my team, my colleagues, and my manager. We found that most users didn't know what those were. My team is not easily discoverable. And they didn't necessarily use them at all. And we really wanted to just simplify everything across the board. So in this release, there's two buckets, only me and everyone. And for all of you IT admins out there, if you do upgrade, we do retain full backwards compatibility. And if your users chose my colleagues or whatnot, it'll still be there. The second part of the three is specifically on the bottom half of the newsfeed settings tab. And the first is the people I follow. So if you put your 2010 hat on, if you remember, we call them colleagues. You add a colleague, you don't follow people. And so when you add a colleague, each time you do that, you have to choose this specific privacy relationship. So I can follow Ben and only show Ben. If people want to see who I'm following, I'm only going to show that with myself. If I follow Donna, my manager, I'm only going to show that to my team, and I could follow this person and my manager, and it just becomes sort of a confusion. And the goal was simple. Click follow, you follow. So with that, we changed the way the privacy works for people. And there's a single checkbox. When you check this box, people who come to your profile will see the people you're following and the people following you. If it's unchecked, they won't see anyone besides themselves if they happen to follow you. So it's really easy, one checkbox. And with that, if people, hopefully, it'll be a lot simpler. The third part of privacy, and probably the most interesting to all of you, is the activities I want to share in my newsfeed. So these are specifically all those activities, and we talked about this before, around that serendipitous discovery of information. When I follow a person, if that's checked, it will create an activity in the feed. If I have a new job title, if I get promoted, that will show up in the feed. If I write a new blog post, that will show up in the feed. These are all the activities, and you can control them at a granular level. And really, the end users can. You can do all of them at once, or you can just choose not to show when you follow a Docker site. I'll say that we really are open by default. Ben and I are both very social and want to share this information, and so we do keep these checked. And what's interesting about it is that it's less for me and more for other people. I want people to see what I'm doing so it can improve their life, their work life. So let's dig into that a little bit. So if privacy does impact the social experience, but when everything's unchecked, it's not like you're dealing with something that doesn't look good. You still have the site feed conversations. You have the microblog conversations. You can share with everyone. It's still not a problem there. You don't have to share at all. Your profile will remain empty, and no one will ever find you. And if that's what you want, sure, that's fine. But what happens when you do share that information? We really allow for this serendipitous discovery of information. People will now see that I'm following this doc, this site, this tag, you know, whatever it is, and allow them to look at the content that they may not have otherwise known to look at. So we now want to wrap up. There are things we do every day. I talked about those. Asking and answering questions, managing multiple projects, working with documents, finding out more about people. And the scenarios and the features I showed you are all about making your work lives just way easier through social. And we did that through believing in the key tenets of employee engagement, team collaboration, and business agility, but at the same time completely respected your right to privacy and your right to control how you want to appear to people who you work for. So with that, I want to say thanks from the product team. I hope you enjoy this presentation. There's a few other sessions that already happened, but if you take a look at this later on, we wanted to list them here because you'd be able to go and view them online. These will be pretty helpful if you want to learn more about certain areas. Ben and I will also both be at the Ask the Experts table tomorrow, and we'll be at the booth, and other people on our team will also be there. But at this point, thank you for enduring the fire alarm fiasco, and I hope you enjoyed our presentation. So,
thank you.
Yep, and so you can go ahead and ask questions, and we'll field those now.
I'm very open by design as well.
Good for you.
Yay, us. But I know some people who aren't, and I'm curious, maybe from two perspectives. One, just by interest in sort of perhaps restricting the ability to create sites, but also from a governance perspective, occasionally SharePoint gets out of hand. And so I'm just curious about the ability to restrict the permissions around creating those sites and the kind of the, hey, we can just spin up a site, which might work, but could also result in 26,000 sites like that. Yep. And total chaos.
So I think there was a session on managing sites. Probably was. But essentially, you can turn it off for users. You can prevent them from creating sites and allow only admins to create them. And there is a way to create governance around how many site collections can be created in a certain area. So yes.
Can you create groups of people who are enabled to do that? So like a team lead within an ordinary user group, not a kind of capital A admin, but you've got an ability for certain business users throughout the organization to create sites?
Yeah, I believe you should be able to.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. Thank you.
Hi, my question is around the SkyDrive Pro, which is essentially the new My Sites. You're storing documents there, but those documents are not part of the project sites or the departmental sites, and they're not really subject to the same governance. I guess, what is your vision for how documents stored there relate to documents stored in the more functional sites? Are you, in Microsoft, are people putting all their documents into SkyDrive Pro and then figuring it out later, or do they mostly put them in the functional locations?
So the way that we have been thinking about SkyDrive Pro is it's the replacement for your C drive. And I think most of the people here realize that storing your documents in SharePoint brings all sorts of goodness, single version of the doc, all sorts of governance that comes with that. So the initial goal of SkyDrive Pro is get the documents off your hard drive, store them inside of SharePoint. And with that said, we acknowledge that there is a difference between personal documents that you use, documents that are actually associated with a concrete group of people that live on the team sites, and then there's some that live in between. And one thing that we didn't show in this demo, and I don't know if you were able to see Rich's before, is that we do offer sort of a grow up or levels of gradation. It's not just totally private or shared with everyone, but the sharing is super easy on documents that you do want certain people to have access to.
If you don't mind my asking, in Microsoft, are people primarily storing documents in their SkyDrive Pro, or are they primarily storing documents within their, you know, departmental, legal, accounting, HR locations?
So I think our data is somewhat biased on that. Based on our team, we are full on SkyDrive Pro.
But if you're working on a project on a specific site, I think something that happens is that you do want to take that document, put it on a site, and relate it there.
Okay. Another, if you don't mind, on my sites. Many customers were discouraged from turning on My Sites simply because it gave users too much control, too much permissions. They didn't know what people were going to do, turn off features, create new subsites. How are we addressing that in 2013?
So we've sort of changed the fundamental model. In 2010, a My Site was sort of an add-on thing that users did have full visibility into. It really was, you land there, you're a site. It looks like a site. It smells like a site. You're the full-on admin of that site collection. In 2013, we've sort of changed the scope a little bit. And if you look at some of the screenshots, you can see that there's nothing on these pages at all that look like a SharePoint site. So while we still have My Sites in the background, they're really the the building block of all of the social features that we've built. And while, yes, you are technically still the admin, if you're an end user, you're the admin of your personal site, we tried to make it hard. We tried to make it not something you would actually ever know existed or ever want to go poke around in.
So obfuscation rather than real control. Okay, fair enough.
That's a fair way of interpreting that.
Hi, I listened to the Yammer and SharePoint session that you referred to, and may you reflect a little bit from your view on the personal social in that context, because that was not very clear from that session on how this with the feed is connected. They are saying that it will merge over time, but could you elaborate a little bit on that?
So you're not going to, unfortunately, no. I think the answer, and it's totally true, is that right now we don't know what the merge is going to look like or what it's going to end up being. We do know that there is going to be a merge, and unfortunately, I wish I could tell you more. I wish I knew more, but that's all we have at the moment. But ask that next year, 2013. We'll add that to our list.
Yeah, I'll add that to the list.
Quick question. What happened to the organizational construct that was in 2010?
The org chart?
Yeah, the org chart.
It's there. We didn't set it up for this tenancy, but when you go to somebody else's profile, if there is that org structure on the back end, you will see the org chart on their profile.
Okay, thanks.
Good observation.
Yes, can you tell me about following sites? It seems it's only conversations that is included in the activity feeds. What's the reasoning behind that? Why not include documents, for example?
So that's a great question. Again, also very astute. It's something that we would love to expand in the future. We wanted to start out with the core thing that we think is going to be the most valuable that's going to happen on these sites. And the conversations, especially with the increase in social usage, is what we think is going to be the most valuable thing in sites. We really, in the interest of time, we would have loved to add additional activities, but unfortunately we just didn't quite get to it this release.
Okay, thanks.
But feel free to come by, because I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you'd like to see additionally.
Just a couple of questions. Around the iterations, future iterations, is there an intent to have, I guess, it more frequent? Because one of the challenges that I've had in the past with SharePoint Social is that it gets released and it's usually behind by the time it's released. This is a really good, what I'm seeing here is really good, but I'm worried that if it's the same 3-year iteration cycle, that it's quickly gets behind the times. And so I'm just wondering if there's a, both on-prem and Office 365, a drive to add more features.
So for sure on Office 365, Jeff mentioned that in the keynote, we're going to have a faster cycle. They're going to be able to ship the features more easily. I mean, we're in the cloud, we're in the service, and we can deploy that. And I can tell you from personal experience, we've been playing with it and upgrading either daily or weekly, and we get to see a lot of the cool new stuff that we've been able to work on right away. As far as on-prem, I'm not sure if that's entirely clear yet, but I think as we go forward into next year, that plan on how they're going to deploy on-prem will be presented by Microsoft.
Okay. And the last question is around when you receive emails, if you're mentioned, or I'm not sure if you get emails when you're following someone and someone posts something, but can you reply in emails, and will it feed into the activity feed?
That's a great question. So right now, when you hit reply, it goes to the person directly. That is something we're looking at in the future.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I had a question about communities of practice. Are you guys, is that still in, or?
Did you say communities of practice?
Yeah.
Robin is your girl for this. So there is a community session tomorrow where she can probably answer most questions. You can ask, and we'll see if I know.
But it's included in the?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Communities are included.
Sounds good. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
I think just two questions. Are hashtag security trimmed as well? I can see some upper-level people tagging stuff with the general community shouldn't need to know.
There, any post that's made to the everyone, posting to everyone, is visible to everyone. So there's no trimming there.
But so when you click the hashtag, so you won't see posts from site feeds that have hashtags in them. You will only see, so when you're following a tag, you'll only see posts in the everyone view that have that tag. When you click on that tag link and go to the relevant conversations, those will be security trimmed out. If there are site feed posts with the hashtags in them, you will not see them in that view.
Okay.
And I should say that actually in that view, you will see both everyone and site feed posts as long as you have access.
Somebody already somewhat responded in Twitter, but is there a like a My Feeds web part or something that you could drop, say, on a on an intranet homepage or something like that? I know it was mentioned you could do it with a content query web part, but is there something pre-built?
It's not something that we support out of box.
Okay.
But you can really easily create your own, and Andrew Harris will be presenting tomorrow on extending social in my site.
Okay, and then the last one, you showed the feature, and the feature is fan-damn-tastic, but dragging and dropping into a SharePoint site negates necessary metadata, does it not?
That's a great question for...
So still a giant pain in the ass.
Okay. So the first part for
Is there a way to protect users from themselves with these privacy settings? I mean,
I'm curious actually what you mean by that question.
I've spent a lot of time with our legal counsel lately, and I can see him being very concerned about these kinds of things. And, oh, people are putting things out there that maybe they shouldn't put out there. And like on the privacy page there, we may be afraid that people might not know what they're checking. And
so there's a few things here. One, if you choose to, you can set private by default.
As the admin,
and encourage people to become more to actually become public. We work directly with our legal department on all of these things too. And really, the activities that you can share really aren't that much information that would potentially harm them. Specifically, like following a document or site, Ben mentioned they're fully security trimmed. So if you follow layoffs for 2013, people who don't have access won't see that document. And everything else really is more about you and your actions. So if people don't use the feed, the only thing that would probably show up is job title change if that changes in Active Directory and syncs.
The analogy that we used a lot when we were thinking through the ramifications of this were sort of what can you do in email and how much damage could you do as a user by sending something out in an email. And it helped us to sort of hash through the discussion.
But if people are used to Facebook, this is a lot less, you should be more worried more about what you post there than what you post internally. And you should be able to delete posts as an admin, so you can manage it well.
Two questions. When you are trying to encourage people to go to SkyDrive Pro and they have documents that have metadata, is there any kind of tool to be able to tag things with related tags so that it starts showing up in the feed? That's the first question.
That's a good question. That's a very hard question, but I can put you in the, I can give you the name of the person who will know the answer to that question.
Okay.
So we'll talk
Fair
after.
Enough. And the next question has to do with, as a user, let's say I have site collection administrator, the equivalent, can I back things down as a user if, you know, I've got posts or other things that I really want to take off? I realize, you know, shouldn't be there.
You want to delete posts that you accidentally posted?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like we deleted the fire alarm post because it would ruin our demo.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sure. Good questions. Any last ones? If something comes to you, please, yeah, don't hesitate to come by the booth or come to ask the experts, and we'd be happy to talk through any of this.
Okay. Right,
thank you.